I hope that all of you are keeping well and you are making some progress in your understanding of what faith is all about and how you can grow, cultivate your faith more and more. It is obviously of great importance that we cultivate our faith. And as we read the Gospels, we begin to realize that the Lord Jesus Christ was deeply committed to helping people, firstly, find faith, cultivate faith in every way possible. And the reasons are very obvious. We know that faith can help us in our life. And to have a good and strong faith, this pleases God. And faith, of course, will lead to blessings for ourselves and for those around us, those to whom we may be able to relate. And many people are helped when we exercise that faith. The story of the four friends who helped their sick, paralyzed friends to come to the Lord Jesus, that person was helped. Many can be helped. Those who are unwell, they could not come to Jesus on their own, and they were helped too. Jairus had to seek Jesus because he had faith in the Lord and his daughter was made well. And so we find that faith enables us to help a lot of people to receive God's blessings along the way. Now today we are going to ask ourselves, how about the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ? What was the state of their faith? How did they find their faith growing? Well, let's take a look at the Bible today, and our text will be taken once again from three different texts. One from Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 27, Mark chapter 4, 35 to 41, and Luke chapter 8, 22 to 25. You can check those texts on your own later on. The people were sometimes called disciples. But what does the word disciple really mean? They were followers of Jesus. They were basically people who wanted to learn as much as they could about God, about the Lord Jesus, and about faith. And so they were called correctly followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, or disciples. They began with being invited by the Lord Jesus. He would say to them, "Follow me." This was basically an invitation. And of course, they have to decide whether they want to follow or whether they will decline the invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if they were to follow, they would find that the Lord Jesus Christ would teach them many very important, vital lessons. He would teach them lessons from the scriptures. He would talk to them about the kingdom of heaven. He would encourage them to develop their faith and their character. They would also be learning lessons about faith. Now, as in life, we all understand, learning and testing go together. Our children, our grandchildren, when they go to school, they learn a lot, and soon they would be tested. Now, testing is a part of life. In school, whether they pass or they don't matters a lot. In the lessons of the Lord Jesus Christ, the tests that come, they are not written exams. They're not tests that come when we sit in a school, in a classroom. These were lessons of life. And sometimes we succeed, sometimes we fail. But even if we don't pass those tests, there are still valuable lessons to be learned along the way. And this is the part of following Jesus that is exciting to know. Well, there were many lessons for them to learn. There are many lessons for us to learn too, about ourselves, about the Lord, and about the true state of our faith. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he taught, he would teach them almost anywhere, sometimes in a synagogue, sometimes in the open fields, sometimes in a home. He would teach people wherever he could find the place to talk to people. Sometimes it also would involve a boat trip. And this story that we are going to read involves a boat trip. In Matthew chapter 8, Mark 4, Luke 8, we know that they were going on board a ship or a boat, and it was across the Sea of Galilee. And whenever we come across the Bible passages like that, Sea of Galilee, we sort of have to imagine what it is. Well, here are some thoughts that you might want to know about the Sea of Galilee. They are interesting things to know, and they will help us to understand a little bit about how this incident took place. The Sea of Galilee is the largest freshwater lake in the whole of Israel. It was so big, it was called a sea. But actually, it was not real a real sea because it doesn't really go to and join up with the ocean. The length of this big water lake, freshwater lake, is about 21 kilometers. The breadth of it all is about 13 kilometers. So that's quite large. There were shallow parts, of course, but the deepest part of the Sea of Galilee was actually 43 meters. So that's quite deep. So what do people do around the Sea of Galilee? Well, firstly, there would be what we call a fishing industry. The people don't usually go into the deep waters to catch fish. They would go to the shallower waters and they would let down their nets and they would fish and they would sell the fish. But sometimes there would also be people who had boats. They will ferry people from one part of the lake to the other part of the lake. So it's called a ferry service. And so they were on board a boat. Now, Jesus, of course, was taking a boat trip not because of leisure, but because he was moving from one place to another place for ministry. And Mark chapter 4, verse 35, describes the event as in the evening. So in the day, the Lord Jesus Christ would teach the people, and it was a very long and hard day, as you may expect. He taught the people, he healed those who were brought to him, and by the end of the day, you would expect that Jesus would be a little bit tired and need some rest, which he did. So he was at the back of the boat, and his friends, his fishermen, his followers would be taking the boat to the other side of the lake, of the Sea of Galilee. Now, while Jesus was resting at the back or the stern of the boat, we read a very, very interesting description in all three Gospels. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 24, we read that a great tempest. The word tempest literally means a storm. 8:24, Matthew, we read that water swamped the boat. Water was coming to the boat. And then in Mark chapter 4, verse 37, we read that there was in fact a great windstorm. so that it would be a storm regular, it would be a great windstorm. And Luke chapter 8, verse 23, Luke noted, they were in jeopardy. Meaning to say that the boat could capsize, and if they were in the middle of the sea, and this the Sea of Galilee being so deep and so far away from shore, they were in danger of being drowned. Well, what was Jesus doing all this while? At Matthew 8:24, Mark 4:38, we read that Jesus was in fact resting or sleeping. Now, let's not think that Jesus was doing something wrong. He was taking a bit of a rest, as you can expect. That is not wrong in itself. But the story tells us that there was a huge contrast between the Lord Jesus Christ and the fishermen. Now, the fishermen were people who were used to going on boats. I mean, they would go onto the boat and they would go and fish. So you would expect that, you would think that there would be no fear. Have they seen storms before? But of course. But this time, we see the opposite. Now, Jesus was not a person who was a fisherman. He was a carpenter by trade and by training. So his work was on land. And so we see the contrast. Here is the Lord Jesus resting nicely, not perturbed, not disturbed in any way. And then with the fishermen who were used to sailing, used to fishing, used to be underwater, and they were afraid. Now, watch what happens. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 24, we read, they went to wake Jesus up urgently. Now, all three gospel writers noted what they said a little bit differently, but it is good to know what they actually said. In Matthew 8, verse 25, they said to him, Lord, save us. We are perishing. Now, that was obviously said in alarm, not calmly. In Mark chapter 4, verse 38, they said, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And in Luke chapter 8, verse 24, they cried out to him and said, Master, Master, we are perishing. They may call him teacher, they may call him Lord, they may call him Master, but one key word that stood out, they were in danger of perishing. They were in danger of dying by drowning. What was Jesus doing? Resting. And the stark contrast cannot but be observed. Now, we read what happens next. So after they woke Jesus up, his response was nothing short of amazing. And so we read in Matthew 8, verse 26, Mark 4, 39, Luke 8, 34, they said the same thing. He arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. That's what Jesus did. And then we read what was said in, and he said, Peace be still, Mark 4:39. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And then the third thing that was noted by all the gospel writers was what Jesus spoke to his followers, to his disciples. Now remember, they have been following him, they have been instructed by him, they have seen him perform miracles, they have seen him, how he had power to cast out demons, how he healed the badly sick, how he made a leper well, and how he even raised the daughter of Jairus. But when they came across a storm that threatened their lives, they were terrified. What did Jesus say to his followers? Now, it is important to take a note, to take note of what he actually said. In Matthew 8, verse 26, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" Mark 4, verse 14, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And in Luke 8, 25, Jesus asked them, "Where is your faith?" What does it mean? What do these words really teach us? It is important to take note that instead of faith, fear ruled their hearts. Now, fear is something that we all experience. We all understand that. When we are sick, we are fearful that it could be cancer. When we fall down or when we have problems in the family, we are afraid of the worst consequences. We understand fear. But usually when fear comes in, faith is not to be found easily. And this was exactly what happened to the disciples. They found themselves fearful. And so the Lord Jesus Christ had to note this for them. And he said, one, they appeared to have little faith. How little is little? In the Gospel of Mark, it was so little, it was as if they had no faith. That was the danger. In Luke chapter 8, he asked, "Where is your faith?" Did they actually have faith? Of course. Did they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes. But when it comes to the application of faith, the little faith that he had was not sufficient to actually deal with the fear that came in. And so their faith was effectively, virtually useless. Now that was a hard lesson to understand and to accept. Now, of course, the man had no answer to the remarks of the Lord Jesus Christ. They couldn't explain. They couldn't make any excuses. They were fearful. Their faith was found wanting. And obviously, they were just unable to answer the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we read about their response to each other, not to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they said to one another in Matthew 8, 27, one person remarked, "Who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him?" They were astonished. And we read in Mark 4, 14, they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be?" Now that is exactly what Matthew noted. Who can this be? That even the wind and the sea obey him. They were exactly the same idea. In Luke chapter 8, verse 25, again here this was noted. The disciples said, they were afraid and they marveled. Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. So did they pass this test that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to them unexpectedly? Frankly, no. They failed this test of faith. But this is where we have a difference. In school, when we don't do well, we may not be able to be promoted. But over here, the important thing is not whether we pass or fail the test, but whether we have learned the lessons that the Lord wants us to learn. So what were some of the lessons that the disciples, the followers of Jesus, learned on that day? Now let us take a look at some of these lessons which are there. One, they recognize that their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ was really lacking. They may assume that they have faith. They may assume that if they have learned from the Lord Jesus Christ, they now had great faith. They found to their horror that that was actually not true. The real state of their faith, little faith, almost no faith. So whatever little faith they had, we may call it as ineffective faith. That was a humbling lesson, but that was a necessary lesson. Sometimes we need to know how little our faith is, how weak our faith is, before we are challenged to actually move on ahead to develop that faith further. Sometimes we are so sure, we assume faith so much, that we are actually not making great effort to grow this faith. The challenge is to actually grow a faith that was necessary. The Lord Jesus Christ was helping them to grow a faith that will one day help them as they become apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this had to be learned. If they have weak faith, if they have ineffective faith, they are not going to go very far. They're not going to be able to achieve great things for the Lord. And so they had to learn that their faith needs improvement. And I think that if we would take a look at our faith, we would also recognize that our faith needs to grow further, needs lots of improvement, needs quite a bit of work before we can say it is strong enough. Secondly, they realize that their knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ was actually quite limited. They knew that Jesus could heal. They knew that there was power in the Lord Jesus Christ. How else can it be? How can a person make a leper well without power? How do you make a paralyzed person walk without power? But he was more than just a healer. He was able to forgive sins. Now, somehow, that knowledge of Jesus was quite limited. They didn't realize to what extent that power of Jesus was in him. They did not realize who Jesus was completely. They did not. They called him Lord. But they did not know that as Lord, he had power over the wind and over the water, over the sea, over the storm. And only when he spoke did they realize the extent of the power that he had. He was indeed Lord and he was indeed Master. Here was the third lesson that they needed to learn. They needed to fear the Lord Jesus Christ a little bit more. What is this fear? And this fear is a sense of regard. Sometimes when you follow Jesus long enough, day after day, you can sort of get used to seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. And the sense of regard may actually dim and may be affected. So now there was a new sense of regard, a new sense of reverence that came to their hearts. And this was important too. Now they had an even greater respect. If they had understood this, the safest place to be would be where Jesus was. The boat cannot capsize. Some water may come in, but they The storm cannot hurt them because Jesus could not be drowned. No wind, no wave, nothing would ever hurt the Lord Jesus Christ because of who he really was. They couldn't understand that. They couldn't appreciate that. And so they needed to have an incident like this, an experience like this that will wake them up, to help them realize they need to know the Lord Jesus Christ at a deeper level than they have already. And as we read the story about how the Lord Jesus Christ calmed the storm, what are some lessons that we can take for ourselves that we may be challenged by? And I think this is one of the first lessons that we must learn. We must continue to be followers, but not just followers. We must ever keep learning. We must never stop learning. No matter what we know, no matter how much we have learned, no matter how old we are, we must ever keep learning. And this is something that we need to understand. And this was the Lord Jesus Christ challenging his disciples to practice. Keep learning. This is absolutely important. So they have been taught in some areas, but they must keep learning in other areas. When we fail to learn, it will affect our faith. So the challenge is to always keep learning. Each day, each week, each month, keep learning. And that's where we will be able to grow further. The second challenge for us today must be that of the deepening of our faith. And I think that there are times when fears may overcome us. Sometimes we fear the future. Sometimes we fear how long this COVID-19 thing will last. Sometimes we fear for our children because their jobs may be affected. We are afraid for our children or grandchildren who are in school. What is the best answer to all these fears? The deepening of our faith in the Lord. This is an important thing that we must seek to cultivate. Faith is unlimitless in terms of cultivation. No matter how deep a faith we think that we already have, it can go deeper, it can become stronger, it must. And of course, our personal regard for the Lord Jesus Christ. This must ever deepen. Our regard, our respect, our honor of the Lord Jesus Christ must ever go deeper, so that we will stand astonished at his skill in teaching, we will stand amazed at the power of healing, and we will stand absolutely marveling that Jesus has power over the wind, the waves, the sea. The Lord Jesus is Master and Lord in every sense of the word. And our challenge is to cultivate this sense of faith and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. May our hearts be greatly challenged. We have found faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and that is wonderful. The challenge now is to keep on being followers of Jesus, being disciples of Jesus, and to keep learning and deepening our faith all the time. And when we have a stronger, deeper faith, we will face the challenges of life in a better way. We will not be overcome by worry or by fears. But with faith, we have confidence, we have courage that we can face any difficulty, any challenge, simply because our faith is anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us cultivate our faith in every way possible. Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you for giving to us faith, a faith that leads us to salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to recognize that we need to grow this faith further, to deepen this faith as much as we possibly can. And we pray that we will learn from all the experiences of life, from the teaching of your word, through all the, even the challenges of life. Help us to know we can and we must grow this faith. And so we pray for grace, for mercy, to deepen our faith far more than it is right now. We pray for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
兄弟姐妹和所有观看视频的朋友们，大家好。这首歌提醒了我们，不管在生命里面对什么挑战，上帝会一直与我们同在。希望这首歌会帮助大家想起我们宝贵的上帝。
虽然有时候我们感到沮丧和心情低落，我们可以想起上帝对我们的大爱，他将特别伸出他慈爱的双手来保护我们。愿我们靠着爱我们的上帝，在一切事上得胜有余。
这个世界真有一位上帝，他爱你，他愿意帮助你。世界